Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Quito, and with me today to talk about the Financial Accounting Standard Board's new lease accounting standard that took effect for publicly traded companies, including REITs, at the beginning of 2019, is Serena Wolfe, a partner at EY. Welcome, Serena.
Thank you, Sarah, and I'm so pleased to be here on International Women's Day.
Great. So first of all, let's start by talking about the most obvious impact of the new standard so far.
So this standard has been long coming. You know, it's been something that's been in discussion and has various iterations over, I would say, 10 years or more. So where we actually ended up is very different from where we began. And the impact for REITs as lessors is actually not as significant as we originally anticipated, and it's definitely not as large as those that are lessees, such as restaurants and retailers. REITs that are lessees, for instance, they may be a lessee in a ground lease arrangement, which is very common in cities like New York City and LA and other large metropolitan areas. Or they have a building lease of a data center. So many of our data center REITs do lease and then sublease their real estate, or corporate office leases, for example. We'll need to consider the effect of ASC 842, the leasing standard, on their financial statements. And in this regard, the lease liabilities and the right of use assets recognized under the leasing standard could be significant, particularly for ground leases that could be, you know, very long tailed. For example, ground leases are commonly 50 plus years, some are even 99 years. So for some REITs, this could be a very large absolute dollar value on the balance sheet. And therefore, I think that would be the most obvious impact to investors. However, the standard also has many other implications. The guidance changes what qualifies as an initial direct cost, which will significantly change practice for lessors that have been capitalizing allocated costs for compensation and costs for services such as legal advice, regardless of whether they obtain the lease. And so this change in the ability to capitalize leasing costs that are not truly incremental will impact almost all REITs in some way, though obviously the materiality will differ depending on the REIT's leasing strategy. So do they have most of their leasing professionals in-house or mainly use external providers? So the new leasing standard requires that only costs that wouldn't be incurred if a lease hadn't been obtained qualify as initial direct costs. And this is going to change the practice for many real estate lessors. So for instance, for those REITs that use mostly outside providers, they can provide that direct link as incremental. Internally, where they pay them salaries and other compensation costs, the link is less incremental and harder to capitalize. So the more restrictive capitalization criteria and cost for services, such as certain legal advice, will negatively affect key financial ratios, which are critical in the REIT world, like FFO, which is currently adjusted for the amortization of the capitalized cost. So it'll be interesting to see how, if REITs do some sort of adjusted FFO measure going forward.
So would you say that at this point, most REITs are really up to date in adopting the new standard?
Yes, absolutely. I think even through 2018, I saw significant progress with REITs analyzing the impact of the standard. And there was an evolution of some of the issues through 2018 as well. And some of these, some additional issues weren't really even clarified or finalized until late in 2018. So there's still some open items that folks are trying to figure out. But in that regard, ASC 842 eliminates ASC 840's real estate specific lease guidance. So our clients or our REITs or your constituents would follow the same classification guidance for leases of all assets. And therefore, REITs will have to change their accounting policies to reflect the new guidance and this may produce some changes for some arrangements. And really what that means is REITs will have to take a step back and take a look at their current policies and procedures and their processes and controls, and figure out like what do I need to do and how do those need to be adapted or changed to reflect the current guidance. And that's particularly of importance to our public REITs that have internal control reporting.
So what would you say has been the most challenging aspect in terms of making these changes?
There's been a number of really challenging aspects throughout the adoption process. And the FASB has listened to a number of NAREIT's outreach on a number of the more significant challenges, for example, the bifurcation of CAM from gross leases, and has really responded well and provided practical expedience, which has resolved some of those challenges. However, I would say outside of those kind of items that have we've been dealing with over the last year or so, The most challenging aspect of the adoption by far has been the determination of the incremental borrowing rate that the REIT needs to use to calculate the lease liability and the right of use asset when they're a lessee. And so for some REIT sectors, at least many of their assets, the impact could be significant. And the complexity really lies around determining the rate, given that the instrument for which you're trying to determine a rate does not exist. So if you think about it this way, a ground lease, as I mentioned before, could have a 99-year term. And so there isn't a financial instrument in the market today where you could borrow for 99 years. And therefore, determining a rate for a 99-year financial instrument is a very difficult thing to determine. And then not only to determine, as I mentioned before, for internal control purposes, document rationales and provide market evidence, and it's been very challenging indeed.
And finally, do you anticipate that this new standard could have a knock-on effect on the number and type of leases that companies enter into going forward?
I've heard a lot of discussion around this there over the years, and it really remains to be seen if lessees are more inclined to enter into shorter-term leases to reduce the gross up on their balance sheet. So far, I haven't seen a change in the leasing strategies for lessees as a result of the new standard. Leasing strategies are very complicated, and they consider a lot more than just accounting, including obviously capital requirements, market fundamentals, and the importance of certain locations to a lessee's overall business strategy. There may be some exceptions to this, however, for instance, if the tenant occupies the whole building and they have a purchase option, maybe they may be more inclined to exercise that purchase option if they have the capital requirements, given they'll have to take the asset onto their balance sheet anyway. But as of today, I haven't seen a significant shift in lessee behavior.
Okay. Well, Serena, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on everything.
Oh, you're welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me today.
And to our listeners, you can find the full library of REIT Report interviews by visiting REIT.com.